reminder, this is KVMR FM Nevada City with translator K286AN serving the Truckee Tahoe Donner area at 105.1 FM. And welcome back to the airways. If you want to give us a call, the phone number is here in the studio, 265-9555 or 1-800-355-5867 to participate on the show today. Again, Mikhail Graham guest hosting with myself, Glenn Farr, with Paul Castro, hopefully listening as he is tooling down Highway 99 towards Yosemite.
I'm going to change chairs because this is one of our classic chairs.
Okay.
And it's real fun if you're doing, like a radio theater.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it could be very, very dramatic with that wonderful... All the doors. Yeah. Paul can do that kind of stuff.
They
I
use
can't.
That. Yes, Mr. Castro called me a couple hours ago, and his cell phone was intermittent even at that point, and he was a little concerned that he wouldn't be able to do the show. So here we are. And, you know, as you know, if you've tuned into the show before, Zentech is all about the world of computers. So we can talk PC, we can talk Mac. We'll do what we can to help you with your problems, or we'll try and just send you some interesting tips and probably talk about various bits and pieces today. I've got some fun little deals that are going on that we could probably mention. Fry's has got some great sales for the folks out there. I noticed today they've got a 1 gig flash drive, USB flash drive for $19.95.
That's a great deal.
Previously,
I'd only seen that at $29.95.
There you go.
So, and if you're not familiar with flash drives, folks, they're these neat little drives that are about the shape and size of your thumb. They fit in your pocket. And at 1 gig, it can hold a little bit more than a CD's worth of data. And it's great for transferring information from one computer to another via a USB port. You do have to have that. But even most of the older computers have a USB port. So if you're moving from one computer to another, if you just have files, for example, I have the flea market on, it's not on a flash drive, but it's on something similar. And I come in here and plug it in on Thursdays to our little unit here so that I can just open the file on the computer. And then when I leave, the file's with me. It's not stuck here on the computer.
Exactly.
So they're wonderful little things.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. As a DJ, a lot of times it's real simple to just bring your flash drive and you've got pretty much everything you need for a show, especially if you're doing it in MP3.
Mm-hmm.
Because with an MP3, for example, I know when I bought a little CD player recently because I got rid of all my fancy cars and bought just an old used car off of Craigslist, which was running just great.
Oh, good.
But it didn't have a CD player, so I picked up a little Sony player that came with a car, you know, plug-in that goes through the cassette.
Uh-huh.
And I made myself up some MP3 discs, so I've got about 10 albums at a pretty good bit rate, actually, so it sounds great on one disc.
Amazing.
So, you know, basically with like three or four of those discs, you've got enough for a week's worth of road trip and never hear the same song twice.
Now, the quality, let's say you were to have a cassette tape with that same music. What is better quality, the cassette tape or this MP3 that you're playing?
I personally like the sound of the MP3 more. I think it's got plenty of fidelity. You don't have any of the hiss unless, of course, you either had a source that had hiss initially that you didn't remove, which can be kind of fun as well. That's actually, we're going retro now, adding noise to tracks.
Exactly.
To try and get them. Years ago, geez, what was it, 1980, I went to a lecture with Brian Eno in Davis, of all places, and Brian was talking about how on one of the tracks he had been working on, they actually went and added a track of white noise because it was sounding too sterile in this new digital stuff that was starting to come along. And I always took that to heart and thought, you know, it's cool to be clean, but it's kind of nice just to have the real deal. So all those clicks and grunts and strange little soundings that the records make now are becoming what people recognize as, gee, that's the real time, that was the real deal, and people use it as an effect as well. So back to your initial question, yeah, I think the MP3 quality these days is quite good and more than usable. There's actually some really great devices for around $30 up, about 50 to 70 bucks. I'll find it here in just a moment, but it was a really cool little MP3 player that plugs into your cigarette lighter. You can angle it where you want. It has a two-line display. You plug your flash drive into it. It plays the sound over an FM station on your tuner in your car, and basically you're ready to go, and it tells you what the name of the track is, All your ID3 codes are there. So this stuff, it's just phenomenal. And it's just a nice little thing. You can just pop it out and put it in the glove box, take it with you.
And to any car that you want.
Any car you want.
With your flash memory, your SD card or whatever.
Yep.
You can have as many of those as you want.
Yep.
So that is amazing. And ideal, or not ideal, basically what's happening then is it's broadcasting very short distance FM.
Mm-hmm.
And you just tune your station into a particular
channel.
Or
and it'll control your radio if you want. You can set up presets for it on that. There's different models of it, and it's I'll find the link for it here in a moment. I had stored it, but I just was trying to think of some things that might be interesting for the listeners out there, and there is just so much fun stuff.
On the idea of MP3s, that's a fairly new technology, maybe 3, 4, 5 years old.
MP3 technology all goes back quite a ways further than that, but it's been refined in the last, say, 4 or 5 years, and it's just getting better all the time.
And it's continually being refined. That was going to be my question. So
to a degree. I mean, the Fraunhofer Institute basically came up with the main algorithm that's used, but then Apple has their AAC encoding format, which is a lossless format. My old company, Magic, had some involvement in some of the technology for archiving the audio. There's a lot of different ways to do this stuff, but I would say 128, an MP3 at 128 kilobytes a second is totally fine. 160, you're getting real good. 192, which takes up, it just depends how much space you want to take up, is all it comes down to. I tend to, if I want to keep something and really pay attention to it, I'll store it at 192. But for the CDs I'm making in the car, 128 is working just fine. And on my iTunes on my computer, I'm doing things now at 128. About 3 years ago, I did a test for KVMR, actually. We were thinking of starting to archive all of our music so we'd have it on a server, which we're slowly getting into now. Mm-hmm. And I brought over, about 7 or 8 different DJs. I asked each of them to pick out a couple of tracks that they wanted to hear, that they knew well. And so I did some tests where I encoded them at 192, 160, 128, and 96. I then also, within that, had a standard WAV file, or AIFF on the Mac, but WAV is really the standard these days. So it was a listening test. I'd play each of these ones, not telling them what they were hearing, and say, which one do you like? And when it got up to 160 to 192, most all the DJs were basically saying, gee, that sounds, that's a CD, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, nope, that's MP3. So, I mean, you can hear it if you got the golden ear touch. I can hear it to a degree, but it's not enough to I hear people go, oh, we're just losing the state of audio in the industry, and it's horrible, blah, blah, blah. And Neil Young spoke a few years ago at an AES show, which is an Audio Engineering Society show, and he was just saying, please, let's don't screw it up again, folks. We got to do 192, not 192 kilobytes, but we're talking like 192, kilohertz, so 192,000. So like a standard CD, is you hear what's happening there, it's sampling the sound 44,100 times a second in order to get that sound. You go to DVD, you'll sometimes, most of the time, get them about 96,000. That's twice the sound. That sounds better. 192 is what Neil's saying we should have. That's twice that.
Twice that.
It's audiophile. I mean, and it's amazing and it's great, but there isn't much of a place to listen to it, at this point in time.
Yeah, it's with all these new technologies for HDTV broadcast and stuff. Our TVs can't even handle that. I do want to take a moment and thank the folks who very kindly helped to underwrite this hour of programming at KVMR. And along with each and every one of you, they also include Ohmsoft Technologies, providing local internet solutions for home and office from Sacramento to Truckee, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or ohmsoft.com. Ohmsoft, the enlightened internet solution. We have somebody who's been very patiently waiting on hold here for us. Let's see if we can go to that phone call. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Zentech with Mikhail and myself, Glenn. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Good.
I have a pretty technical question for you.
Okay.
I update a website. And I know very little, but I follow all the directions right to the dot. And mm-hmm. I cannot get into the FTP site.
What kind of computer are you on?
A Dell.
Okay.
And I've asked It's iPowerWeb is the...
They're my host as well.
Yes, and they have sent me... They say it works fine from their end.
Mm-hmm.
I have a consultant that I'm trying not to use for financial reasons, and she is able to get into it fine also.
So may I ask, what web creation software are you using?
I'm just using HTML because all I do is put a newsletter on and make a few word changes, so I just copy the language, the code.
Okay. So when you create this source, the HTML source, what application are you using to actually
input? Oh, very good question. It's called HTML something. I might be able to tell you.
Something like HTML Creator or something
like that. I'll be able to tell you in a moment when I open.
That's okay. I mean, at this point, the question I have for you: are you trying to upload the data via that program to the FTP site?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the thing that I found. I'm on a Mac primarily, though I work on the PC occasionally. I use a product from Macromedia, which is now Adobe, called Dreamweaver.
Yes.
And Dreamweaver occasionally I found with iPower sites, and I don't know what's changed recently, but I'm having a similar issue using Dreamweaver. It'll time out and just tell me I can't get in, even though everything should work according to what they say. So what I opted to do, and I would suggest you might do the same because it seems to work foolproof, it's one extra step. Get yourself an FTP client. On the PC, unfortunately, I don't know the names of those. Glenn might have a thought.
Are you using Firefox or Internet Explorer?
I'm using Internet Explorer, and I thought maybe that was the culprit, so I went to Mozilla, and that still didn't work.
Okay. What I can recommend is if you do go to Mozilla Firefox, they do have an FTP client now that you can download from their...
Good point.
What's it called?
Their extensions area
on their website. And I use it quite successfully for making all the changes necessary now for the flea market. And
Glenn does that as well. He's doing the same thing you're doing, uploading the code like that.
Okay.
I don't know why iPower sites are doing that right now, but I have found the exact same problem that you're having. And the way I got around it was to use an actually separate FTP client. What Glenn's recommending should work. I know it does on my account. It sometimes takes... sometimes it'll just go right in, and other times I'll wait for a minute, almost a minute and a half, but it doesn't time out, unlike some of the web creation apps.
Now, let me point out, although I won't give away the identity of our caller, who I know,
yes.
She is on dial-up, and
that could be an issue as well. But it's a real minimal code, it sounds like. There's no graphics or anything, it's just text for the most
part. Right, it's just text, and what I do is put the two side by side, the FTP with the folders on one side, and then off my computer, and I do the sample and give it a different name and test it out. The problem is, iPowerWeb has suggested that I go to a FTP client. I don't even understand that.
Basically what it is, the protocol that you're using, the file transfer protocol, which is what FTP stands for, sometimes within these HTML creation applications, like the one you're using, they have a certain amount of time before it just times out if it isn't able to get in, so to speak, to look at the folder where that stuff lives, which is probably the HTTP docs folder or something like that.
Oh, but this is not even letting me get into my account. I mean, the flashlight goes and goes and goes, and then I get the dialog box saying, I mean, I don't even get to click on public HTML.
Gotcha.
I can't even get in.
Well, it sounds to me like one of two things. One of three things that come to mind. One, there's some data that's not entered right, which I doubt, because it sounds like you've been over that with them and gotten that all secured so that the password and the user ID and all of that is there.
Right, it's all there.
So that should be right. Secondly, then, I would say it could be, as Glenn mentioned, the dial-up possibility, though that shouldn't affect being able to get in unless you're just getting some noise on the line or something like that.
I called my ISP, and they said nothing's changed from their end. So, I mean, I was thinking that was a problem.
Uh-huh. And who is the ISP?
AccessV.com.
Not familiar with them.
And this is a problem that's been recurring.
It did happen in January.
Uh-huh.
And I saved the iPowerWeb's answer.
Right.
So that's the only reason I remembered that. The other little could this be the problem? Well, every time I boot up, I get a Windows message saying you may have a counterfeit copy, and I have two buttons. I can't go any further. I have to choose resolve now or resolve later, and I cannot resolve it right now.
Understood.
So I keep clicking on resolve later. Could there be something that's been installed that fouls me up at that stage?
From my experience, no. Okay. Once you say resolve later, the system goes ahead and boots on into Windows, and it may give you a message, and it has a little icon down on the lower right-hand screen. I've seen this on some computers recently. And other than a possible message coming up if you're online or if you're on the computer for quite a while, or that little icon down below, and then when you do turn the computer off, it again says, you know, you may be using an illegal copy of Windows. You know, you need to resolve this at some point. But from everything I can see, Microsoft isn't doing anything to prevent you from using the computer as you should. What they are doing now is they're not allowing you to make software updates, non-critical updates.
Gotcha.
Of the critical ones that would have to do with the hacking and stuff like that and backdoors and all, those still will come through.
Okay. Well, I felt that was probably the case, but I was trying to look for every reason why this thing won't let me in.
Now, being that you're on a dial-up, I don't know that you would have a firewall set up going with this, but that is where I started experiencing the problem is when I was working on doing some podcasting on my computer where I was actually broadcasting over the net to Paul Castro and a few others. Radio show that I was experimenting with, and I had to change some of my firewall settings. Ever since I did that, I've been having these issues with iPower, and I can't figure out why. I've changed everything back as far as I could tell the same, but one day I'll log in with Dreamweaver, and it just goes boom, and it's done, and it did its job. The next time, it just sits there, and I can tell now within about 2 seconds whether it's going to do it or not, and so I just go to my FTP client. Again, what that is referring to is just a protocol for transferring the files over the net. And what Glenn suggests using Firefox or Mozilla, as it's known more commonly in the PC world, is to basically just go to their site. They have an extension that will add that functionality to the Mozilla browser.
Okay.
And then you can do the same thing. It'll basically look the same as what you're doing, but I got a feeling it may work better.
It's just doing it with a different utility.
Exactly.
Okay. I can maybe give that a try. Does it hurt anything to have, say you open up with Mozilla and then you click accidentally, as I've just done, not just now, but you click on Internet Explorer?
I've had about 6 browsers open at one time.
Oh, good.
Because I sometimes have to check to make sure how it's going to look, the page will look on all these different browsers.
Okay.
So I'll have Netscape up, Explorer up, which is on the Mac pretty pathetic, Firefox, Opera.
Safari,
thank you very much.
Thanks.
And, you know, so no problem at all.
Okay.
They're all doing the same thing and all fighting to become your one main squeeze.
Well, I found out that you can't look at your favorites. If you're in one, the favorites are not in the other.
Well, that's interesting.
But you can transfer them over. Internet Explorer, I'm not sure, but in Mozilla Firefox, you can go to bookmarks and there's a selection there where it says,
it'll read them
go
all
get them from Internet Explorer and it'll import them.
Then you'll have it in both places.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Wow, big help.
All right,
hopefully. Thank you so much.
And any further questions or if you need some assistance, give us a call or, email at zen@kvmr.org, and I'll make sure that Mikhail gets copied on all those emails today, too, unless you'd like to give out your email address.
Oh, you could send me a note to toss@kvmr.org, toss@kvmr.org. If you have a question, if I can answer it, I will. If not, I'll refer it to one of our other gurus.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for
glad
calling
to be a help.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Gosh, without these callers, this radio station wouldn't be what it is, and specifically shows like this.
You bet, Glenn.
Earlier you were talking about the noise getting added back into things, and one thing I like, I know during the flea market, very often people will come and shut the door to the studio, and I'm like, nah, leave it open. I like the ambient noise.
Yeah, it's real. It's real radio.
People are noticing now that I'm typing on the keyboard during the flea market.
I noticed that the other day. I was going, hey, Glenn, I can hear you're typing. But I kind of like it because it's real, you know. It's not like it's all just made up.
Uh-huh.
This is real radio. I think there's something real special. By the way, before I forget, the folks that were, if you're wondering about that little FM modulator, MP3, it's called the Roadmaster VR, that's Victor Radio F, as in Frank, Mary 9. That's the Roadmaster VRFM 9. Now, there's a series of them as well. That's the most fancy one. But they come down, and the manufacturer retail price is $69.99. I've seen them for around $50. They're real cute looking. It's real simple. It's backlit display. It's kind of a yellow, that yellow green LCD two-line display, so you can see the name of it. There is a little bit of a cutoff in the upper end, high end, but you'll hear that sometimes in a radio broadcast. That's just the limitations of FM radio, which really kind of cuts off around 15 to 16 kilohertz. But for the most folks out there, you're not going to notice a big difference. And it's just a real cool little piece. And I mean, I'm sure there'll be others to follow. There have been others out there I've seen, but this one, you know, like I say, you could just plug in your flash drive or an SD RAM card. You can also just plug in an iPod. It has a jack to plug in your iPod or MP3 separate player and use it that way. And it just plays through your radio. So pretty cool little piece. And USB port built in. So I would give it a shot and check it out. I think you might be surprised.
More in the way of fun gadgets, which I just love gadgets.
I love gadgets. I know Glenn goes down to Fry's and all these places, and he'll come back and go, "Do you have a use for one of these?" It's like, "Oh yeah, I've always wanted one of those. It's totally cool."
I was actually disappointed. I went down the other day, and on one day I was looking for an item, and then they actually had it cheaper on what day was I there? Friday or Saturday? And I went to look at it, and it was it said it's by Targus, and it was for a laptop. And it stood it up on end, so or it you know raised it up so that it would allow the fans on the laptop to work better. And I thought, oh, and they called it a cool pad. I'm like, oh, great. So I looked at it, but it didn't have built-in fans of its own. Which one of the things that I got you recently is something that I use, and I can't even remember the brand name. We paid $10 a piece for it.
Yeah, we got a few of those. They're real nice.
It plugs into your USB port on your laptop. It has fans on it, so it gives an assist to cooling the bottom of your laptop,
which is really paramount when if you want to keep these things running.
And if you want to keep them on your lap.
You know, it's funny. Mine, this new one that I have, this new Macintel, it's a MacBook Pro. It's the big 17, and I find it too warm, but I've had a couple of friends who put it on their lap and say, oh, it's just fine.
Uh-huh.
But I kind of like having my little cool pad. Works
Me
great.
Too. Let's see if we can catch this call live before it goes into the system, and I think we got them. Hi, caller, you're live on the air with Zentech.
Hi. I just wanted to relate some. Do I need to turn my radio off?
Please.
That would be helpful. Love that dead air.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's
anyway,
okay.
I went down to Fry's on Memorial Day, and while I was in there, my car was stolen.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Your car was stolen?
Yeah. And a friend told me that Sacramento is the third highest place for having car thefts in the nation.
And what kind of car did you have, may I ask?
Honda Civic, and it was.
That's one of the most popular cars to steal.
Right, but it's like it's a 1994.
But you know what? I bet you really got great gas mileage with it, didn't you?
I do.
And so is somebody else.
Fortunately, I actually got the car back. It was
oh, good for
they
you.
They didn't part it out. You know, it was I don't maybe the battery ran down, and maybe they just couldn't deal with that.
Wow.
But anyway. The tow truck place where the car was, after it was found, was towed to, he said that he knew of four other cars that had been stolen at Fry's.
Really?
And
amazing.
That area, the Natomas area, there's a very high rate of car theft, even more so than Sacramento in general.
It's unfortunate. I lived there for a short time many years ago in the 80s, and it was a very different place then, but it has changed. Although I've been to Fry's, as Glenn has many a time, and our cars are still in our possession. But we don't drive Civics, so I don't know if that's part of it or...
Yeah.
I haven't run it. That's the first time I've heard this, but it's a good thing to let listeners know. If you're going to be down there, protect your
investment. I'm not going back there because, it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. I am so fortunate that I got my car back. Nobody thought I would get it back.
Well, I'm very glad you got it back, and doesn't seem to be any worse the wear for having been stolen.
Oh, yeah. It's got dents in it and scratches and... And the cell phone was stolen out of it, the case that had all my CDs was stolen. But considering how bad it could have been, it could have been, way worse. You know, very happy to have my car back.
You betcha.
Well, congratulations on that. And if you ever need anything, let me know, and maybe I can pick it up for you.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Thanks
bye-bye.
For calling in. Bye-bye.
Now, that's an interesting tip. I haven't had one of those, but that's it's something to be aware of. It's, unfortunately, the world we're living in. It seems to be coming a little more like that here and there.
Yeah, Yeah, and it's surprising. I would think that with that, and I have a friend who had a Honda stolen earlier this year also. Unfortunately, it was one of those really, really cold days, and he was running into the quick stop to get a pack of cigarettes and left the keys in it running because it had the heater on.
Oh,
and sure enough, when he came back out, it was gone.
It was gone.
They found it about 12 weeks later. The car was fairly trashed, and he got into a battle with the insurance company of, you know, whether or not they were responsible for getting him another car. And ultimately they settled and they gave him a check so he could go out and get another car. But they didn't, it was one of these cases like this lady just mentioned, it wasn't chopped.
Yeah.
Which is what happens with many of these cars as they go into the chop shops. I know these Scions, these Toyota Scions,
they
said? That, I think, is the number one, especially in this area right now, for theft. So just be cautious. Be aware that it's out there, that it's happening. You know, make sure you do lock your car. I forget every once in a while. Like, I go push my button, and it beeps at me twice, and I go, oh, wait a minute. No, it beeps at me once, and I go, wait a minute, that just locked it, meaning I didn't have it locked.
Oh, boy.
So. Anyway, we've got a couple of more phone calls, so let's go to those right away. Let me remind folks, this is KBMR in Nevada City. You're listening to Zen Tech with, today, Mikhail and Glenn. Hi.
Hi, is that me?
That's you.
Oh, I did hear a beep. How cool.
Oh, wonderful.
Wow,
thank
it's
you.
Working.
listen, I wonder if there's any way. I have a Yahoo browser or Yahoo in my Internet Explorer. I have had an embarrassingly large number of emails in my inbox that I finally tried to clean out, many of them because I would have had to transfer the pictures that have been sent me. Now I've just got this huge job of one at a time downloading those and then sending them to a folder in my hard drive. Is there any way to somehow mass grab all those photos out of my email?
You know, if you just have the standard non-paid free version of Yahoo, probably not. I can't think of any way.
No.
And I'm not even sure, even if you had the paid version, if that would offer you such an option, although it would be a wonderful option to, say, go through and cull out all of the JPEGs, for example, or bitmaps.
I'm curious something, because I don't work the way you work and the way apparently I think Glenn does and quite a few others. Why is it that you don't use an actual standalone mail application on your computer that keeps this stuff on your...
On my own hard drive.
Yeah, local.
You know, I guess it's just that it was a matter of convenience when I went to the SBC Yahoo. You know, I just went with that.
Gotcha.
I suppose I should have, actually.
Well,
Now, is your email address at sbcglobal.net?
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, even with that, I recommend that people not use their provider's email address, because your provider can change.
Yeah.
And right now, especially going through what you're going through, it might be best for you to get, and you can email Zen at kvmr.org, or Zen dot, yeah, no.
Here it comes.
At kvmr.org, and request from me a Gmail invite, and I would be more than happy to send one to you or any other listener today
Gmail's
who's out
cool.
there. And Gmail, you can set it up so that you can use Thunderbird or Eudora or Outlook or Outlook Express, and then keep it on your computer. You'll have that transition period of telling people, okay, I'm not at sbcglobal.net, but since you're still with them as a provider, at least you'll still have that address out there. And then transition people over to Gmail, which we're hoping, like at yahoo.com or at hotmail.com, is going to be around for a while. That's my bet.
Can't imagine it won't be.
Yeah.
So far.
So that's what I would recommend in that case. And unfortunately, I don't think there's anything that we can suggest. You may want to give Yahoo a call and pose the question to them and see if they have a thought.
Yeah,
maybe that's it. Maybe,
they've got some online forums that you could look and probably find that information, but I think Glenn's right. I don't know of any way to do it.
Yeah, the only thing I can think is, and actually, if you're not paying for Yahoo, since you have at sbcglobal.net, you might have their premium account already. There might be a way where you can open up a Yahoo photo album and then direct it to go back to your emails and cull things out. But I'm just guessing.
Yeah, there is a way to to store photos separately from your email and a way to transfer them over. But even from there, I can't get them to my own hard drive.
Because at least that would have them all in one place. So you
can
select multiples, but that doesn't get them down to your hard drive. That's odd.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it sounds like my first step, I think, is I'll try to contact Yahoo and see if they have any information for me. Other than that, it sounds like I have my work cut out for me.
Let us know what happens.
Good luck with it.
Thanks,
Thank
caller.
You very much.
Bye-bye now.
You know what? You've got another caller?
Yeah, we've got a couple more calls, so let's go ahead with that. Caller, you're next on Zen Tech. Hi.
Would that be me?
That's you.
In fact. Well, we got the audio files. I thought I'd throw out a couple questions here.
Mm-hmm.
First, four or five of us have ripped our personal CD collections and then swapped in a circle with a hard drive to MP3s.
A circle swap. Okay.
Yeah, I suppose it's questionable on the legality issues, but we've kind of settled on ripping at about 320 kbps as a balance between fidelity and size of the file.
A lot of people like that. That sounds good.
That's reasonable.
If you can afford the space, which these days, you know, you're seeing drives like a 300 gig drive for $90 or less, sometimes $59. So yeah, 320 is great. I mean, the closer you're getting to the original source, the better. So no problem with that.
Okay. The next question, and we've ripped some at, you know, various bit rates, nothing lower than 128,
right.
Generally up to 320.
You bet.
And then you play them back via MediaMonkey, and it has a column that shows the bit rate.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it says 32 or 64. I know I've never ripped anything at that low a rate. Is there a reason for that, you know?
Well, I'm not familiar with that particular app because that is a PC app. Paul Castro might be able to enlighten us more if he were here. I'm not sure why it would show that. I have noticed some odd bit rates occasionally when I know something is, say, 64 and it's coming. I've seen it at 32 just like you, and I don't have an explanation as to why that is or whether it's just a misnomer, if it's reading the data stream incorrectly. So couldn't give you a real foolproof answer on that one.
Okay, and the last question, which was, we have some left-handed files were given to us, M4A.
Oh.
Is there a conversion to get that into MP3s so that they'll play on our little
I have an app on the Mac that does that particular type of thing. I'm trying to think on the PC if I'm wondering. I don't know of a freeware app. That, again, Paul might know better than I.
Send an email inquiry.
Yeah, we're writing this stuff down. Glenn's getting that kind of notated here. I'm wondering if Audion, I know they have a demo version of that app. I'm wondering if it has a conversion capability. It's the one from Adobe, took that thing on. And I just don't know on the PC. I'm not as literate on that. But there is, for an MP4, basically is what you're looking at, a ways to convert that. The whole thing with MP4s even is you can get even a, some people say a better sounding and even a smaller file, but it just depends, you know, and you've got to have the software, of course, to play it back. That's the thing.
Right, and so, these little MP3 players that you broadcast through the radio and all that, they don't handle that.
Most of those, like the one I just described earlier, that one will take care of MP3 files, but it's not that I know of. It doesn't play MP4 files. So, yeah, you do have to. It'll do wave media files and MP3s, but not MP4s.
Yeah. I bought, that's the VR, did you say?
Yeah. VRFM9, actually.
Uh-huh. I bought one of VR3, it says.
Yep, the 3 was one of the smaller ones, and it's basically similar idea.
Uh-huh. It doesn't, my fault with this is it doesn't shuffle, and it doesn't read into a folder. You have to record each song as an individual file.
Yeah, they changed that with the VRFM9, so it has an SD card slot, USB port, ID3 tags, random shuffle mode, last station recall because it'll work with your FM radio, last song played, and that sort of thing as well.
So they're
pretty darn cool.
Yeah, they're. I like it other than the fact it's kind of simple.
Yeah, it's pretty darn simple, exactly.
Okay, well, thanks for your input.
You bet.
Bye. Thanks a lot. Let's go to our next caller who's live on the air. And did you hear a beep, caller? Hello, caller, that's you.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, you're live on KVMR.
So they come to a four-way stop, and you want to go right, but the other person's going to go straight, and it's like, they don't go, and you're nine about these little hand flakes, and they just don't go.
That happens on occasion.
Hi, caller, you're live on the air.
That was an interesting call.
It was.
We had a human GPS there, I think.
It sounded like it. Caller, you're live on the air.
Hello.
Huh? Hello.
Hello?
That's you.
Hey, all right. Hey, I was listening to the conversation, and I got a sense that what you were saying about the different mail program,
right?
That instead of using an internet-based program like Yahoo, you can use a program like maybe Eudora.
Eudora, Thunderbird, Entourage, Outlook Express,
and
Outlook, yeah.
And I need to qualify because I have always been an advocate of internet-based.
Yeah, Glenn's
email.
The opposite of me. I like everything local where I have it right there, whether I'm online or not.
So that's what I like about Gmail, is you can have it on the internet, and then specifically with Thunderbird, you can coordinate it with Thunderbird on your computer. So, for example, my laptop, I always, when I'm at home or when I'm traveling, I just use Gmail and do my email online. When I'm someplace where I have a high-speed internet connection, for example, here at the radio station, then I go and I open up Thunderbird, and it'll grab the last 300 messages that I've been looking at online and bring them down into Thunderbird for me.
Works good both ways. If you're traveling or you're out on the road, having the net aspect of it is really good. I found both. I like keeping, I'm a pack rat, so I like to have a paper trail of everything that's going on in conversation, so I like it on my local drive.
Uh-huh. So,
including those pictures that are so easy to lose if
yes.
you can, or transfer, you know, not so easy to transfer.
Well, part of the reasons for my call is that I really don't want to, although I'm using a PC at this time, I really don't want to get involved with Outlook Express. I don't know.
You certainly don't have to.
For aesthetic reasons, perhaps, and also for safety.
Sure.
And so when you're mentioning Thunderbird, is that a add-on related to
it's,
Mozilla?
Yeah, it's part of the Mozilla family. It's their mail client.
It's not an add-on. It's a standalone mail client from Mozilla. So Firefox is the browser. Thunderbird is for email. When we spoke about the FTP client, that was an add-on extension into the browser.
This is not.
This is a standalone email client all by itself. And it's pretty spiffy. We've got most folks here at KVMR using it. Those folks who aren't coordinating between Outlook and email and their PDAs.
Yeah, I'd give Thunderbird a try. It's pretty darn cool.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I got this very fast computer to do some graphics processing with. And I just noticed that my old computer was just as fast on Yahoo.
Interesting.
You know, accessing the various...
I can tell you why. It's because you're accessing the internet. You're not doing something standalone in your house on your computer. So you're limited to the speed of the internet and the particular place that you happen to be at. So you could have an old 286 that might appear to be and probably would be just as fast over a dial-up connection as a brand new Pentium dual core blah 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 on that same dial-up connection.
Yep.
Hey, have you guys heard of this internet service provider for DSL called DSLExtreme.com?
I've only heard of them. I have no experience with them or heard any claims, pro-com or whatever. Don't know.
Okay. And is it extreme.com?
That's my understanding. That's what the guys at Comtech said. They said, check it out.
Oh.
It's a service that you can get at a much better rate than what's currently offered.
Oh, that's good to know.
Okay. I am looking at it. It says starting at $9.95 a month. Oh, that's dial-up access. Now, of course, they put that big price right there with a little print. And so I don't see what their DSL pricing would be. But one place to go look is www.toast.net.
Yeah.
And you can check what your speeds actually are, and then they'll give you comparisons in your area, I believe. Is that correct, Mikhail?
I believe it is.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you for calling in. We've got a few more callers, and we do need to
go
ahead and get ready for them. Thank you very much. Oh, by the way, did you hear a beep?
No, man, I'm in my car, and there were three deer in front of me. We were talking.
That was your beep. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Glad you didn't hit them.
Okay, thanks.
Get out!
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
And forgive me for asking this question so many times, but did you hear a beep, caller? Because you're live on the air.
Apparently not.
Okay. Whoever's there, say hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Is this Glenn McHale? Am I coming through?
You're coming through.
Did you happen to hear a beep?
No, I didn't hear any beep.
Ah, well, we lost the beep. It happens a few times.
But what I'm wondering is if people aren't listening for the beep.
Well, they're not listening for it. They're not.
No, I was listening for it.
Oh, he was.
Thank you.
All right. A caller who pays attention.
I like your groovy method. Hey, this is Michael Stone. I'm getting a new the Intel Mac.
Yeah.
And most of the DJ programs that I'm looking at aren't compatible yet. Have you got any suggestions around that?
Unfortunately, the universal binary versions of Native Instruments, which is what you're using now, the Traktor,
yeah. Right.
They're on their way, but they're not there. There's no, I don't know of any of the DJ apps currently that are working in universal binary format. They're coming up real quick. I've just gotten several new updates this past week, but that is not one of them. NI Native Instruments is a company out of Germany. Michael Stone here uses their Traktor. It's a really cool DJ app where you can have like two CD players built into your laptop and do a great thing. Well, they're just behind.
I've talked to Traktor and they're only doing the new version, which actually has four decks and is way more than most people would want, and they're not upgrading the new one.
So you're out of luck.
I know it's going to be, they're not going to do the old one, and it's going to be 6 months for the new one. I thought maybe you knew of any others.
I don't.
There's another German company I know that is Mac compatible. I'm trying to think of the name of it now.
Have you checked any of their websites yet?
Yeah, I've been searching all over, and I haven't found anybody, and I've been calling them, and nobody seems to go. Other than they keep telling me it'll run on it, but it won't run.
It's the same problem with some of the graphics software I use, like even Microsoft Office or the Adobe Creative Pack or Macromedia stuff. It's sluggish, and I have some real problems on my MacBook Pro. And are you getting a MacBook or a MacBook Pro?
I think the MacBook Pro, the one with the 17-inch.
You're going for the 17. That's the MacBook Pro. It's the one I have sitting here right in front of me. Great machine. You will find some issues. The things that are set up for it native are fabulous. They work great. It's a wonderful machine. Got some great things, but you will be pulling your hair out a little bit. I am not 100% pleased with my purchase. Let's put it that way.
Really?
I've had this thing for a couple of months now, and I've been, I have to restart my computer at least, probably once a day. I didn't used to restart my computer for maybe once a month, you know, with the last one, which was beautiful G4, and it just worked. It was the top of the line last model, and it worked. It was fantastic.
That's the one I have.
Yep, and I would say if you're looking to get one of those, I would wait and keep what you got unless you've got a reason to sell it. I went for this just because of certain connections I have with Apple, and I'm on the bloody edge of a lot of this stuff sometimes, and I'm bleeding a little bit right now.
You think wait on it, huh? I need a backup. I just feel very vulnerable, and I'm having a little problems with my G4.
Well, if that's the case, I'd go on to eBay or look around and find yourself a used G4, because you're not going to find the apps that you're used to, especially for what you're doing with the DJ stuff. You're not going to find that just yet. It will happen eventually, but I'll do a little research, see if I can come up with anything, but I don't know of anything just yet. It's people, you know, it's this in-between period, which always comes. The machine itself is a great piece of hardware, very well made, some great features. That part's good, but I'll tell you, the headache I have with just my simple email program, which I use Entourage, if I quit the program and try to restart it, it will not start again. The same thing with quite a few other apps that are not universal binary capable. They will not run again. I have to restart the computer in order to get the darn thing up again.
Boy.
And that is a pain in you know where.
Yeah, because Entourage is also the program you know I use.
Yes,
too, so.
I'd stay away from it for now if you can avoid it and wait, because it will all smooth out probably around the end of the year. I know everybody's working on it, but talk is cheap until you got the action that makes it work for you.
All right. Thanks, Mikhail. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in. And let's go to our next caller. You're live on the air with Zentech. Hi.
Got anything to buy or sell? Are you there?
Knock, knock, knock. You're next.
Going once. Let's go to our next caller.
Okay. Good afternoon, caller. You're live on the air now with Zentech. Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, you know what you're talking about with Michael? That's actually why I decided not to buy the Mac Pro.
Right?
Just because of the various things, dialogues that were going on the internet about the software issues, and I decided to just for the interim go ahead and try a dual core processor from HP, and I'm pretty happy with it.
Well, I don't know we're talking about two different things. The thing, I can run mine in that mode as well. I mean, I basically booted up using Bootcamp. I have a PC that's extremely fast. I'm very pleased with it as a PC. And if you want to run it in that mode, as I didn't even think to offer Michael because he's a Mac guy, then you're basically in the same camp where you are right now. You'd be able to run it like that. It's a fabulous PC.
You're on the PC side.
But that's a full-on PC. If you're trying to run it as a Mac, I mean, there's a lot of apps that do work. I'm in the process of just finishing up beta testing some new plugins for Waves that are universal binary compatible. They'll be coming out this week, and they're fabulous. You can get a lot more power out of your Mac now. But, you know, no offense to the HP, I think that's great, but if you're a guy that wants to run Mac and occasionally run Windows, this is a great machine. And, I mean, I've got it configured as a Windows machine. I love it. I can run WaveLab. I can run all my PC apps that I have. That's why I have a PC, and they're fabulous, and it just screams, you know.
You're using the emulator.
It's not an emulator. No, man. This is a Windows machine. That's the difference. There's a couple of different emulators, like for the G4, like Michael has, you can run Virtual PC. That doesn't run on here, but there is another one called, PC Latitude or something that actually runs as an emulator, and it actually can run Windows and Mac operating systems and Linux side by side right within the same window. It's not like you have to reboot, but what I'm talking about is I literally restart my Mac, I hold down the Option key, up comes my startup manager, and I can say, do I want to run Windows XP or do I want to run Mac OS X?
I see.
And when I run Windows XP, which I was just running earlier this morning, this thing screams. It's a wonderful, wonderful machine.
And let me point out, when you talk about the HP, I believe the processor that it has is called a Duo, D-U-O.
He got a dual core.
The dual core, okay.
Yeah, I bet AMD.
That's a nice machine,
the
too.
AMD,
yeah.
Okay. But that strictly runs as a PC or Linux. Then the one that Mikhail has, it's the new Intel chip that they built for the Mac, and as Mikhail says, it can run as a Mac.
Linux or Windows.
Did they really build the chip for the Mac, or is it just
They're using basically, it's not made so much, but specifically for the Mac. You could put this into a PC, but Apple's got a kind of a little bit of a lock with Intel on this particular one.
I see.
And it's this is a 2.16 gigahertz Intel Core Duo. I've got 2 gig of RAM in it, 17-inch screen. It really just rocks, as Jimmy Accardi will tell you later, because he's a big fan of this machine as well. But it really is quite a machine. And in some of the tests I've seen, early tests of the PC mags, they've actually said that Apple's built a faster machine than the other guys out there, like Dell and HP. Now, I can't attest to that.
But
I have read that online, and I've read that in some of the mags. So that was kind of cool. But I love it that way.
Usually says that.
Yeah, well, he's going to say whatever. But this is stuff that I actually read separate from Steve. Steve's an interesting guy, but we all know Steve's got a little bit of bias, I guess you could call it.
Oh, is that what you should call it?
Bravado and bias, yeah.
Listen, right, thanks for calling in. We've got a couple of more calls to get to, and I do want to take a moment and thank all of you for helping to underwrite and support every hour of programming here at KVMR.
You
and specifically
betcha.
For this hour, Ohmsoft Technologies, providing local technology solutions for home and office from Sacramento to Truckee, including DSL, dial-up access, domain name registration, secure transaction services, and technical support. 530-758-0119 or ohmsoft.com. Ohmsoft, the enlightened internet solution. Let's get to our next caller here. We've got about, maybe 4 or 5 minutes we can talk to folks and get ready to finish up the show. How are you today, caller?
Good. How are you doing?
Not bad.
Heard the beep.
Good.
Cool.
Thank you.
Just turned down about 5 minutes ago, though. I'm a PC user. I want to get into the Mac scene.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do some DJ stuff. I want to do some video stuff. Like your recommendations with that. And from what I've been hearing now, it sounds like you like this new Mac G5, but you don't like, you say you have to restart it.
Well,
so.
number one, it's not a G5.
Oh, okay.
This is in what's called a Macintel, or it's a MacBook Pro or a MacBook where they're using an Intel processor.
Okay.
The G5s just weren't able to be scaled down to fit into heat-wise, power consumption-wise, into a laptop, so they switched to actual Intel processors. So this is really the Mac running with a PC processor, but a high-end dual-core PC processor. So I've got basically two 2.16 gigahertz processors in there, and this thing screams. What I'm saying is, if you don't have an app that's designed for this particular processor, which is what you need to find out. You can see is it universal or universal binary is what they call it, compatible. If it is, this stuff, anything written for it screams, like the video software that Apple supplies with the computer. Okay. You'll get everything you need to do what you're talking about right out of the box without having to spend a dime. Now,
really?
DJ-wise, you can use GarageBand to do some basic DJing. But if you want to do what, like our other DJ Michael Stone was talking about, you need an app that actually simulates two CD players. Now, okay. I can't tell you today which ones are universal binary updated, but I know they are coming. And they will be there. This is the computer of the future for Apple. This is where all of their computers, there's only one left right now. I don't think that they have out in this format. So all of the old G4s and G5s are going bye-bye. That's not going to be what's happening anymore. What's holding it up is some of the software development, which is always the case in a transition. The basic guts of this machine, like the MacBook Pro 17-inch I have or the 15-inch MacBook Pro, these are great machines. Nobody can really fault them. There were a few little glips in the 15-inch model when they first came out, some fan noise that they fixed with some firmware updates, a little bit of heat issues. The new MacBooks overall, which replaced the iBook, essentially the same thing. Very nice machines for a very reasonable price, you know, Apple-wise. I mean, you're not gonna get the $500
right.
You know, machine like you would on a PC. But what you are getting is a very good, high-quality, well-made machine that runs well. And I gotta say, if you go with the AppleCare support, which for a machine like this is anywhere between $200 to $350. It depends if you look for it on the net, you can find it. You get really great service, especially with the laptops. They'll literally pick it up at your door, have it back in 2 days, and it's all fixed if there is a problem. I have yet to have any problems like that with mine, and it works great. So I highly do recommend it, but just you need to look at what your application is. If you're looking at doing video, you're home free. If you're looking at doing a DJ thing, you need to just scour the internet a little bit and just look for MacBook Pro or universal binary capable applications, and then you'll be set.
All right, buy now or wait till like the turn of the year or even
if you don't
year?
Need it right now, I'd wait till after Macworld in January.
Okay.
It's always better because what ends up happening is they'll announce some new machines somewhere in January or February if it isn't right there, and the old ones will go on sale. And you'll get what I got that costs like $2,800 for probably around $1,800.
Really? If you're going to drop $1,000 by February?
You'll find deals. Let's just put it that way.
Cool.
So if you can wait, I'd say wait up a little bit longer for it.
Okay.
But I definitely, you know, I had a choice. I could have bought the very latest G4, which is a great machine. But my friends at Apple, who I've worked with for years, long story I won't go into, basically said, please don't. You're going to have a little bit of issues with it to start with, but just get this machine. Trust us. You'll like it. It will take you where you need to go down the road.
So, all right, websites to help me with the video and DJing as a novice, because I'm not familiar with any of this stuff.
Video stuff comes with it. It's iDVD is built right into it. You can get into Final Cut Studio or our DVD Studio Pro.
Okay.
Those apps, you just go to Apple's site, really, to start with. They'll show you the apps that are all available. Just go to apple.com.
Okay.
Find it there. They'll have a listing of all the universal binary capable apps.
Hey, thanks a lot. You guys are great down there at KVMR, and I am a proud supporter.
Well, thank you very much. We couldn't do it without you.
We certainly couldn't. And thank you very much for calling. Now, there's a caller that's on hold, and if you'll stay on hold, caller, I'm going to get you from the other studio, but we do need to go ahead and finish up today.
Jimmy's in here.
Thanks for coming in
and
co-hosting today. Paul, I hope you're having a wonderful time. He's got an old-time friend from England visiting.
Oh, that's why he's up in Yosemite.
With her husband and four kids, so they've gone to Yosemite and probably be there for a day or two. So I hope you're having a wonderful time.
I hope he is, too. And I would mention as well, folks, if anybody out there is a Syd Barrett fan, the guy who helped start Pink Floyd, gave him their name, who just died in the last month, I'm doing a special tomorrow night on the other side dedicated to Syd Barrett, part two. Some very cool interviews and stuff, 8 to 10 p.m. on the other side. So tune in for Syd Barrett, part two, a wonderful special.
KVMR FM, Nevada City. Stay tuned for Jimmy Accardi coming up next. Thanks, folks.